Dare to Imagine by Velithia. Read for you by Flamingwell. This Guardian fanwork is rated teen and up, and no archive warnings apply. Additional tags include post-canon. A fix-it is alluded to, but is not the focus of the story. Canon typical violence. Canon typical devouring. Children are briefly in danger, but rescued without harm. Mental link. Telepathic bond. Hurt comfort. Emotional hurt comfort. Serious injuries. Poisoning. Trauma. PTSD. Healing. Trust. Family. Cuddling and snuggling. Hopeful ending. Summary. An attack in Dixing forces Shenwei, Zhao Yunlan, and Yitzun to test new and fragile bonds of trust and family.
Zhao Yunlan!
Zhao Yunlan staggers up from the SID couch, half-unwrapped lollipop falling from nerveless fingers. Shen Wei's voice is startlingly loud, echoing through his mind with the faint touch of what Zhao Yunlan can only conceptualize as static. That means Shen Wei is calling all the way from Dixing. But it's not the volume that has him checking the dark energy gun is secure in its holster and racing for the stairs. It's the emotions attached to Shen Wei's voice. Strain, desperation, and the slightest tinge of fear.
Yitzun!
Zhao Yunlan shouts, taking the stairs two at a time and yanking on the handrail for more speed. Despite the low-level mental link that's connected them since they all returned from the void outside space and time, he's still not particularly comfortable reaching out to Yitzun with his mind. Not after all the effort he expended to keep him out. Unless Yitzun has portaled somewhere without telling him, he should still be in the SID. Zhao Yunlan doesn't have time to go chasing him through the streets. Shen Wei doesn't have time.
Yitzun!
What? Yitzun snaps, eyes narrowed at Zhao Yunlan as he hauls himself up the last few stairs. I heard you the first.
Shen Wei needs us,
Zhao Yunlan says over the top of him, urgent. He called me. He gestures up near his ear, hopes Yitzun understands he means with his mind. Can you portal? Yitzun shoves himself up from the table, inelegant like he hasn't been since they returned from the void. His face is pale. I can portal, he says, reaching out a hand and closing his eyes at the same time. Zhao Yunlan would have found it imperious once, but now he's just grateful Yitzun isn't wasting any time. He takes the offered hand, feels the mental link spring into focus. Zhao Yunlan isn't good at this. Not like Yitzun and Shen Wei with their years of dark energy manipulation that give them an advantage. But he can still be. Let the flame of the lantern spill out of him and help light the way. Like this, skin to skin, he can feel. The tangled ball of furious emotion that is Yitzun. Anger and rage and regret and grief all buried under the laser point intent of Guga, where are you? And there, in the distance, the muffled answer barely audible.
Didi, Yunlan.
Got him, Yitzun hisses, fingers clutching tight around Zhao Yunlan's hand. There's a flare of dark energy, a shadow against the flame of the lantern. Zhao Yunlan opens his eyes to see a perfect mirror of one of Shen Wei's frost-edged portals bloom into existence right in front of them. Skin to skin, Zhao Yunlan doesn't need words. He can feel Ye Zun's intent as clearly as he's sure Ye Zun can read his own. As one, they step into the portal. Zhao Yunlan is getting more used to traveling this way. He's no longer bombarded with visions of the past, but there is still a moment of disorientation, swirling colors and shifting light, and then he steps out on the other side into the heavier air of Di Xing and sees. With Di Xing's new day-night cycle synced to Hai Xing's sun, everything is lit with golden afternoon lantern light, no darkness to obscure the details. So he can clearly see the way Shen Wei is down on one knee, both hands upraised to hold a splintering shield over himself, and there's someone behind him, huddling in the shadow of his robes. And of course, anyone Shen Wei is trying to protect is worth protecting, but Zhao Yunlan is far more worried about the way the corner of Shen Wei's lips is marred with bright red blood, about the way another crack shudders through his shield. "You dare!" Ye Zun snarls, and Zhao Yunlan takes a breath, calls for the power of the lantern. Light pours forth, a glare in his periphery. It spills across in front of Shen Wei, solidifying as it goes, until there's a new glowing barrier hovering in front of him, covering him from the blows. Zhao Yunlan is not great at offense. That kind of energy manipulation doesn't come naturally to him, and anyway, he has the dark energy gun for that. But here, with multiple Di Xing Zhen attempting to overwhelm Shen Wei with pure numbers, it's a simple division of labor. Zhao Yunlan will shield, and Ye Zun will. His hand is empty, and he glances once to his side, sees Ye Zun appear behind the group of Di Xing Zhen, sees him open his mouth, dark energy whirling around him. Zhao Yunlan turns back to Shen Wei, holds his shield steady as the hammering blows falter amidst cries of alarm, slow, and then stop. For now, it's enough that those Di Xing Zhen won't be hurting anyone else ever again. The question of Ye Zun spitting them back out can be debated at a later time, when Shen Wei doesn't look. Shen Wei's shield splinters, shatters, shards of dark energy wisp into nothingness as Shen Wei's face slackens, Zhao Yunlan is running before he even realizes he's moving, diving to catch Shen Wei just before he hits the ground. "Shen Wei, ah, Xiao Wei," Zhao Yunlan says, pressing his hand to Shen Wei's cheek. Skin to skin, he should be able to feel him, even unconscious, but he's faint, so faint. Nothing but a quiet murmur in the depths. There's clearly something wrong. This is Di Xing, where dark energy surges, abundant. For Shen Wei to be pushed to his limit here means he must be injured, maybe, or blocked somehow from replenishing his energy, and Zhao Yunlan... "Ye Zun, we need you!" Zhao Yunlan calls, carefully laying Shen Wei onto the ground. He's barefaced, but in his robes, and while to a layperson that might make it more difficult to check him for injuries, Zhao Yunlan is pretty well versed in maneuvering around these robes by now. "Xiaowei, hang on," Zhao Yunlan murmurs, and hopes to every god in the heavens they're not too late. Yitzun swallows, dark energy churning greasy and discomforting in his gut. He hasn't used his power like this since the three of them returned from the void outside space and time, and he feels... Before, it felt good, made him feel powerful, in control, the rush of energy and the new power that accompanied it exhilarating. Now he just feels queasy, and a vicious, vindictive part of him wants to try and rush the process, reduce these Di Xingzhen who had dared to raise a hand against Gege to their component parts, never again to be retrieved. But he knows, too, that that's not what Gege would want. Not Gege, who would want to see them properly tried in Di Xing's new criminal court, and not Zhao Yunlan either, who probably wants to know how and why. Yitzun swallows again, pressing a hand against his stomach. It was easier when things weren't so complicated, and Yitzun doesn't understand why it feels this way now when he...
Yitzun, we need you!
Zhao Yunlan calls, urgent again like he'd been in the SID, and Yitzun pulls dark energy to quickstep across the distance between them in a single breath. Gege is... Zhao Yunlan is settling Gege onto the ground, loosening the buckles and straps of his robes and starting to pat him down in quick, efficient movements. But next to Gege... He'd known, because Zhao Yunlan had known, that Gege had been protecting someone. At the time, he hadn't cared, far more intent on making sure the Di Xingzhen attempting to hurt Gege paid for their presumption in blood. But now... The wide sleeve of Gege's robe had fallen across them when Zhao Yunlan had lowered Gege to the ground. The sleeve ripples as they move, as first one, then a second tousled head emerges from beneath the sheltering fabric, and they're young, ragged, and dirty, and tired, and they look terrified, wide-eyed and clutching each other, huddled together, and Yitzun remembers. He doesn't know how old they are, although there's at least one winter to come between now and when Gege had abandoned... No, that's not true. Gege hadn't... Gege had bought for him and lost, had searched for him after. Yitzun knows that now, had seen the truth for himself in that place beyond death, the void outside space and time. That's all in the future. Here and now, Yitzun and Gege are hiding because... They'd thought to take shelter for the night in a disused barn. The planks had caved in on one side, just enough for the two of them to squeeze through. And inside, there'd been enough hay to scrape together a rough pallet. Gege had left Yitzun to sleep while he foraged for something they might be able to eat. Yitzun wakes with an aching belly and a cough scratching at his throat. And Gege pressed against him, his hand warm across Yitzun's face. Shh! Gege breathes, and Yitzun tries his best to swallow back the cough, throat burning, and hears. There are noises outside, faint flickers of light through the broken hole in the side of the barn, shouts and cries and pleas for mercy. The side of the barn shudders as something thumps into it, and Yitzhak buries his face into Gugu's robes, shivering as someone gurgles out their last breath only inches away. He knows he needs to be quiet, but his throat hurts and his lungs ache and... He coughs, Gugu pulling him close to try and muffle the noise, but it's not enough. Someone on the other side of the barn has keen enough ears to hear. "Break it down!" he hears, and lifts his head enough to see Guga's eyes widen. "Sorry," Yitzhak mouths. His eyes feel hot with regret. He was supposed to be quiet, and they heard him. The bad people will kill him just like they're killing all the rest. Will... Up, up. Gugu breathes, scrambling up out of the hay. He slings their one small bag across his shoulders, taking Yitzhak's hand. Pieces of straw scatter in their wake. Gugu even has some in his hair, everything in disarray. But it doesn't matter. As long as they can get away, as long as they can... Gugu boosts him through the hole in the planks. Yitzhak feels a splinter drive into his finger as he squeezes through, and then he's dropping silently into the damp grass on the other side, Gugu landing next to him a moment later. Gugu takes his hand and tugs, and they run.
"Yitzhak!"
Zhao Yunlan says, urgent, and Yitzhak drags himself out of the memory, refocusing on two sets of identical, terrified eyes. Cuts his glance down to see Zhao Yunlan hauling Gugu's robes apart with bloodied hands to reveal a savage gash low on his abdomen and curling around his flank. "Gugu!" Yitzhak is kneeling before he realizes it, reaching out with a trembling hand. They're in Di Xing. Gugu shouldn't be unconscious. But he is, and he's bleeding, and...
"Yitzhak!"
Zhao Yunlan says, and Yitzhak glances to the side. Zhao Yunlan looks scared but determined. And that expression was infuriating before, but somehow now it's reassuring. Like Zhao Yunlan knows exactly how things will be and expects the world to bend to his will.
"Shen Wei needs you to heal him,"
Zhao Yunlan says. And this close, Yitzhak can not only hear but feel the sheer belief Zhao Yunlan is radiating. And of course he knows Yitzhak can heal. Yitzhak healed him, after all, after he'd cut him loose from the pillar. But this is more than that. This is an absolute certainty that Yitzhak can make things right. It's heady, like Yitzhak has only ever felt from devouring before, and he nods once, jerky, and presses his fingers against Gugu's bloody skin. He's not good at this like Gugu is good at it. When he's healing others, when he's healed Yitzhak, Gugu's energy is warm and soothing, rippling across an injury like a wave, smooth and leaving healing tissue behind. Yitzhak is... It was probably someone he ate. He can't remember, now, where all his disparate powers come from. Had never once cared to remember faces and names. But Yitzhak's power to heal is less soothing and more direct. It's never bothered him before the way it jolts and shudders, overwhelming. But now that it's Gege under his fingers. Now that it's Gege's wound he's healing, he wants. He summons dark energy and pours it into Gege, lets it follow every gash and tear to its source and start to rebuild. It's harder than he remembers, but Yetsun won't give up. Gege needs him, and Yetsun won't let him down. He can't do anything about the exhaustion. He's learned how to use his power in reverse, to give energy as well as take, but he's only ever done it with Gege, and he's pretty sure Gege needs to be conscious in order to receive. Flooding him with dark energy now will only set Gege's own dark energy system out of balance. Something sparks in Gege's wound, and Yetsun flinches back. There's dark energy laced through the red blood seeping out, and all of Yetsun's efforts so far have barely slowed the bleeding. "What's wrong?" Zhao Yunlan asks. He can almost certainly sense Yetsun's disquiet, but Yetsun doesn't know. He frowns, presses his fingers once more to Gege's skin, and closes his eyes. This time, he sends his dark energy deeper. He knows what Gege should feel like, had spent enough time with their essences and energies mingled in the void outside space and time. Here and now, blood hot and slick under Yetsun's hand, Gege feels different, like his dark energy system is already out of balance. Like he's been poisoned. There's foreign dark energy laced through his system, strongest at his wound, an insidious toxin slowly seeping into him and sapping his strength from within. It explains everything. Gege's unusual exhaustion here in the heart of Di Xing, his strange state of unconsciousness now, the way Yetsun's power of healing has been weakened. But now that Yetsun knows, now that he can see. What is this foreign energy, if not energy to be devoured? Yetsun has never used his innate power this delicately before. He hovers his hand above the wound, dark energy billowing from his fingers to cover it completely. Inhales. He feels Zhao Yunlan's panic a fraction of a second before Zhao Yunlan's hands close around his wrist, trying to pull him away, and Yetsun realizes all at once what this might look like to someone who once watched, helpless by Yetsun's hand as Yetsun had. He swallows down a spike of anger and regret. What's done is done, but Yetsun is trying now. And skin to skin, their connection is as strong as it's ever been. He can't spare much concentration from the intricate work of teasing out the foreign energy, strand by strand, from Gege's dark energy system, but he can spare enough for this. And he doesn't like the feeling of recoil he gets from Zhao Yunlan sometimes when he speaks to him mentally, but his mouth is currently occupied, and he likes the feeling of Zhao Yunlan's panic even less. Poisoned, Yetsun manages, trying not to flinch at the maelstrom that's currently churning in Zhao Yunlan's mind. Words are hard, and Yetsun isn't good at splitting his attention like this. But Zhao Yunlan should be able to read the rest of it directly from him, no matter how incomprehensible his anchor message. Zhao Yunlan's fingers spasm against Yetsun's wrist. Yetsun cautiously drags filaments of foreign energy from Gege, one after another, and gradually the storm whirling in Zhao Yunlan's mind slows. Promise? Zhao Yunlan sends, bitter fear warring with trepidation and hope sharp enough to be painful. Yetsun knows intimately how dangerous it feels to trust, when you have no assurances that trust will be upheld, when you have every reason to think. Promise, Yetsun sends, drawing another thread of energy out of the wound. He's making significant progress. Already, Gugu's color is a little better, his dark energy a little stronger, the sense of Gugu's mind a little brighter. Look. Zhao Yunlan looks. Yetsun can feel his mind quiet further with each observation he makes. His fingers slide from Yetsun's wrist with a care that Yetsun has only seen him use sparingly, and mostly for Gege, but also with those Zhao Yunlan considers his family.
Keep up,
Zhao Yunlan murmurs, softer now that they're not touching, but given their proximity, clear enough all the same.
Brother-in-law.
And Yetsun? He doesn't remember anyone but Gege, has never been claimed by anyone as family. And now Zhao Yunlan is... And Yetsun knows he and Gege are married in all but name. There's still a stack of star charts in the study where Gege is trying to narrow down their actual birth date, or as close as he can come to it, in order to try and calculate the most auspicious date. But Zhao Yunlan has always seemed... Him and Gege have always been so attuned to each other, and even with their hallows-forged bond, Yetsun has always felt like a bit of an afterthought. Not that he feels Gege is neglecting him, not after the way their essences and energies had merged in the void outside space and time, where Yetsun could feel his genuine concern and love, hear the truth of their separation, and come at last to a reconciliation. But that's Gege, and this is... Yetsun can feel the way Zhao Yunlan has always flinched, a mental recoil that's impossible to hide, no matter how hard he might try, and impossible for Yetsun to ignore. He knows, he thought he'd known, that Zhao Yunlan only tolerated him for Gege's sake, that if it were Zhao Yunlan's choice, the link wouldn't have been forged at all, or perhaps forged only between Zhao Yunlan and Gege, leaving Yetsun aside. But now... Now what he'd thought he'd known is turned on its end. Zhao Yunlan thinks of him as brother-in-law. Zhao Yunlan thinks of him as family. Yetsun doesn't know how he could have missed it, but this close he can feel Zhao Yunlan know the truth of his words, and Yetsun... It had taken reconciliation with Gege for him to realize, until the anger and rage had somewhat calmed and he could see what lay below. But for more than 10,000 years, Yetsun has been desperately lonely. And he'd thought Gege's love and Zhao Yunlan's tolerance was all he would have, had resigned himself to this and no more, and to suddenly discover that he was wrong, that there is more, that Dao Yunlan considers him family. Yitzhen doesn't know how to have a family beyond Gege, doesn't know what to do with these feelings, But their proximity enables Dao Yunlan's quicksilver mind, too, and there's something incongruously like reassurance coming from his direction, and Yitzhen, earned or not, with Dao Yunlan's reassurance steadying him, Yitzhen can work a little faster. He pulls more and more of the foreign energy from Gege's body, Gege stabilizing under his hands, and Yitzhen won't be able to heal him completely, but maybe it's enough that he can neutralize the poison and slow the bleeding, enough to allow Gege to take care of the rest on his own when he awakes. Maybe it's enough so that Gege won't be disappointed in him for not managing to... There's a burst of incredulity from Dao Yunlan, quickly muffled. Yitzhen catches, as if Shenwei would ever be upset with you for trying your best, and doesn't know what to... Yitzhen, Dao Yunlan murmurs aloud. His voice is carefully gentle. Has no one ever told you they're proud of you? Yitzhen's grasp on the energy stutters. Of course no one has... Why would Dao Yunlan even think... What you're doing right now? Healing Shenwei? Dao Yunlan continues, quiet but inexorable. I'm proud of you, and I know when he wakes up, Shenwei will be too. It's that certainty that hits him, low in his core. Not so much Dao Yunlan's pride, but his steadfast belief about what Gege will feel. And Yitzhen... It used to be infuriating how perceptive Dao Yunlan was. But there's no fury today. Just the feeling like Yitzhen has been torn open, bloody and raw. Like Dao Yunlan has seen to the very core of him and dragged it into the light. It's excruciating. Yitzhen latches onto the first distraction he can find, shoves a conception of the tear-stained faces of the twins Gege was protecting at Dao Yunlan, and hears him quietly curse. And Yitzhen breathes, listens to Dao Yunlan's voice murmur, soft, as he speaks to the children. Pulls strand after strand of foreign energy from Gege's core. He'd thought his power was only good for devouring powers and energy and people, a drain on others and the world around him. Here and now, Yitzhen drags free another filament, feeling the sense of Gege's mind closer and more coherent every time. It feels good. And maybe if Dao Yunlan is right, maybe if Gege is proud of him, maybe it will be okay for Yitzhen to be proud of himself. Here and now, Yitzhen is using his power to heal. Shenwei is... Everything is confusing. He'd been fighting, hadn't he? The regent had...
Hey, Pao Daren...
the regent had said, bowing low. Shen Wei hasn't even made it inside the palace. The regent had met him in the courtyard. The council wishes me to convey to you urgent news. Shen Wei can't remember now, but he's sure it had been important. Why else would he have gone here on the distant outskirts of Dixing, well past even the ruins where the Sky Pillar had trapped Didi for 10,000 years? Why else would he have found the children? Shh, Zhao Yunlan murmurs, but that's... Zhao Yunlan isn't here. Zhao Yunlan is in Haixing with Didi, and Shen Wei is alone here in the depths of Dixing, alone with two tiny identical children who refuse to let go of each other, even when they're clutching at the skirts of his robes, just like... He has so many memories of holding Didi's hand. It's cold the morning they leave their village. Their parents have been dead for weeks, and the goodwill of other villagers is running thin. Shen Wei hopes to seek their fortunes elsewhere, but he doesn't really know where to go. Away from here, certainly, but...
Gege?
Didi asks, and Shen Wei glances over. Didi is smiling, swings their joined hands back and forth.
Which way?
Shen Wei takes a breath, straightens his shoulders. He knows there's another village a day or two by wagon if they travel alongside the mountains. That, at least, he can do. And perhaps there he can find some work, hopefully, but at the very least ask for directions onward. This way, Shen Wei says, smiling at Didi, and takes a step. Lightning scores through the sky, so close Shen Wei has to blink after images from his eyes. The thunder hits right after, a booming rumble that hurts his ears and shakes him to the bone. He's wet all of a sudden. It's raining, the kind of torrential downpour that Shen Wei has become used to after the meteor hit and disrupted all the weather, made the summers cool and the winters frozen.
Gege!
Didi has to shout just to be heard. He's shivering, hand trembling in Shen Wei's own.
I'm scared!
Shen Wei pulls him in, hugs him tight, and chafes his free hand up and down Didi's back. They need to find shelter. It's not safe for them to be out in this storm. But more pressingly, if they stay out in this rain, Didi will almost certainly catch a chill. He glances around. It's hard to see through the rain, but he thinks there might be a darker shadow over to his left. And then lightning sears through the sky again, and Shen Wei can see. They're near the edge of a cliff face, and they've grown a little in the few years since they left their village, but if they can find even a small cave, that would be enough, just to get out of the rain and let him get Didi dry. Shen Wei lets Didi huddle in the lee of his body, stumbles his way through the rain to the cliff. The rain is driving slanted into the rock face, the wrong way for the towering wall to be any kind of relief. Didi is shivering so hard his teeth are chattering, and Shen Wei's toes are numb. He nearly falls as the rock face dips, a narrow crack bisecting the rock no higher than Shen Wei's shoulder. They have to crawl, rock scraping unpleasantly around them. Their wet robes are damp and drag, heavy, catching on every tiny outcropping. But after one narrow turn, the little crack opens into a tiny cave. Only really large enough for the two of them, but that just means they're unlikely to be surprised by anyone else. The storm moves on while Shenwei is getting them both out of their wet clothes and wringing as much water as possible from the fabric. Everything they have is soaked, but if he can get most of the water out, and then they huddle up together. By the time Shenwei has them wrapped up tight in a damp cocoon, even the rain is quieting down. And it's then that he hears the voices. It's mostly indistinguishable at first, and then it gets louder. Curses at the storm, the rains, and the fact that this person has lost the trail of something they've been hunting. And then...
"They were all alone," the man complains. "Didn't see no adult with them. Who'd miss two boys like that, eh?"
And Shenwei's blood runs cold.
"Don't see where they could have gone,"
a second man says, rougher than the first.
"In that rain." "They would have fetched a good price," the first man says, and spits.
And Shenwei clutches Deity tight, barely daring to breathe. They must be right outside, but the crack had been so small, and the rain would surely have washed away any trace. And it had been hard to find the trail in the outskirts of Dixing, but Shenwei had been extremely motivated. And he should have realized that opportunists would step in to seek advantage of the turmoil, in Haixing and Dixing both. Take advantage of families torn apart to steal the weakest and most vulnerable. To snatch away especially any children trying to survive on their own.
"Shenwei, they're safe,"
Zhao Yunlan murmurs, and for a moment Shenwei can almost feel the ghost of his touch. But no, it's just the energy of the hallows tingling across his skin. The hallows that snatched Kunlun into a wormhole right in front of him. The hallows that now have his brother in their grasp.
"Guh, help me!"
Didi shouts, terror and desperation in his eyes, and Shenwei runs as fast as he can, leaping over the fallen bodies of rebel soldiers, to reach out and grasp Didi's hand tight in his own. And he tries, marshals every scrap of energy he has left, dark energy swirling around him as he pulls. And he can feel Didi pulling too, pitting his own power against the grip of the hallows. He can feel himself faltering. It's been a long night and a longer battle, and Shenwei had already been tired when they set out on their mission to steal back the hallows. And now that he's found Didi again, now that they're finally once again hand in hand, it's galling to realize that for all the strength he cultivated in Didi's absence, against the power of the hallows, it's simply not enough. The hallows tear Didi's hand from his grasp, and Shenwei lunges.
"I'm here," Yitzun says, and Shenwei can feel.
Yes, that's Didi's hand in his, warm and steady. And why did he think,
"Guga, you saved me. I'm here."
Shenwei feels a little wobbly, everything twisting and sliding around him. He knows Yitzun had fallen, but he can feel the warmth of his hand fingers squeezing his. Feel the touch of his mind, sending him warmth and reassurance and, I'm safe, Gaga, you don't need to worry. Shenwei, just rest. Kunlun murmurs, and Shenwei would recognize his voice anywhere. Feels his own lips curve as Kunlun chuckles. We're home, and everyone's safe. I'll take this watch. And Shenwei. It didn't happen often. Mostly only when Shenwei was injured badly enough he couldn't hide it or tend the wound himself. But after the healers had come and administered his treatment, Kunlun would drape his softest fur over Shenwei, stroke careful fingers through his hair, or simply hold his hand until he fell asleep. And Shenwei is a light sleeper, has to be in the midst of war. But with Kunlun standing guard, with Kunlun protecting him, Shenwei has never felt safer. The next time Shenwei wakes, he knows where he is. His body recognizes the mattress beneath him, his brain the sounds and smells of the apartment he shares with Zhao Yunlan. He's in their bed, and he feels... He's weak, still. Dark energy levels low, and regenerating slower than they usually would in Haixing. But he can sense. His energy structure feels almost inflamed. Everything tender and delicate. It's to be expected after what had happened. And he remembers now, finally clear-headed again, finding the traffickers, rescuing the children, feeling the blade bite into his side as he stood his ground, children protected at his back. It had been a mistake, of course. Not protecting the children, never that. But his moment of miscalculation had allowed his opponents to sink toxic dark energy into his system, start a cascading imbalance that had led to... Well, at least he'd had the presence of mind to call Zhao Yunlan for assistance. Even he hadn't realized how quickly the energy imbalance would destabilize him. But perhaps between the light energy poisoning, the destructive explosion caused by his conflicting energies, and his subsequent return from the void outside space and time, his energy structure simply needs more time to adjust into a new equilibrium. His physical state, at least, is much improved. His side aches where he'd been struck, but the wound itself has been substantially healed to something much more superficial. No doubt Didi had been hampered first by the poison, and then by its lingering effects on Shenwei's energy structure. It's impressive what Didi's managed, even within those constraints. Shenwei hopes he hasn't worn himself out too much. Hopes. There's an unfamiliar noise from right next to him, and Shenwei goes absolutely still. He'd registered only that he was home and let down his guard. And he might be injured, dark energy channels aching and painful, but he can still... With his eyes still closed, the world around him lights up and... Shenwei exhales a shaky breath. He feels a little foolish, because, of course, he might have been delirious, confused and hallucinating, but it was almost certainly Zhao Yunlan in the here and now who told Shenwei he would keep watch. And sure enough, Zhao Yunlan is sitting cross-legged on a stool, leaning against the bedside table. He has his chin propped up on one hand, and he's gazing directly at Shen Wei, exactly like Shen Wei used to do back when Zhao Yunlan hadn't yet been Kunlun, and Shen Wei didn't know for how long he would get to keep him. He blazes to Shen Wei's dark energy vision, limned in lantern fire, and it's fitting that Zhao Yunlan, bonded to the lantern for eternity, could bring light not only to Di Xing, but to Shen Wei's own heart as well. But Zhao Yunlan isn't the only one here. He's just the only one not on the bed, which Shen Wei thinks is purely down to space limitations and logistics rather than any more altruistic purpose, because the rest of the bed is... Yitzun is crammed against him on his injured side, his head resting against Shen Wei's shoulder, one hand protectively laid over Shen Wei's wound, and the other curled loosely around Shen Wei's wrist. He's breathing slowly and deeply, and maybe it's all the memories his delirium had unearthed, but something in Shen Wei settles at hearing Di Di's breathing so smooth and even. And on his other side, it takes Shen Wei a moment, but there's no one else it could be. Dark energy signatures like mirror images, holding each other's hand even in their sleep. The children Shen Wei had almost spent himself protecting are squashed nearly on top of each other, little heads side by side along his outstretched arm, and with their other hands still clutching at his clothes.
"They didn't want to let go of you,"
Zhao Yunlan murmurs, and Shen Wei, sheepish, releases his dark energy vision and opens his eyes. It's not that he was trying, exactly, to hide that he was awake. It's just that he'd been startled and reacted on reflex. But with their connection strengthened by proximity, there's no way Zhao Yunlan wouldn't have instantly known. It's dark in the apartment, but Zhao Yunlan unerringly finds his gaze. Since they returned from the void outside space and time, he sees better in the dark than Shen Wei. "Hi," Zhao Yunlan murmurs, lips curving into a beaming smile, and Shen Wei feels warm all down to his toes.
"You came," he manages, rough. His voice is a bare whisper.
"Always," Zhao Yunlan says, reaching out, and takes Shen Wei's outstretched hand. Their connection flares wide, and Shen Wei can feel. The worry and concern, yes, muted now that their home and Shen Wei is awake, but also the love, too, so much that Shen Wei feels like he might overflow.
"I've been thinking," Zhao Yunlan sends, switching to a more silent form of communication. Skin to skin, Shen Wei can clearly sense his background care for Yitzun and the children, Zhao Yunlan wanting to avoid disturbing their rest.
"There's quite a few of us now,"
Zhao Yunlan continues, and Shen Wei. Skin to skin, Zhao Yunlan doesn't really need words. And it hits Shen Wei all at once, what Zhao Yunlan has been thinking while everyone has been sleeping. A house, big enough for all of them, for Di Di and Da Ting, and the children too, if they don't have anywhere else to go. Shenwei gets a glimpse of real estate listings, blurry pictures of house fronts, scattered thoughts of a bigger kitchen for Shenwei, and a room of his own for Yetsun, and windows that face the sunrise. A flash, there and gone, of the time 10,000 years in Shenwei's past, they'd watched the sun rise together with the whole world quiet and still around them. But what has him feeling shaky, breathing unsteady, is the feelings. The knowledge that Zhao Yunlan wants this, wants Shenwei, with a longing that aches. A home, a family, and a future. Something they can build together and make their own. Shenwei swallows, hope rising sharp in his chest. It's everything he wants, too. Everything he hadn't dared to wish for back when he'd proposed making a bet. And he knows Zhao Yunlan can read his answer just as clearly by the way his smile turns radiant. Deal, Shenwei says. The end.
Thank you so, so much for listening. I hope you had as good of a time as I did with making this. This was made for Pod Together 2023, which is where podfickers and writers team up to make a work collaboratively that is intended to be podficked. And Valithia, thank you so much for taking a chance to do something new with me that you've never done before. I had a wonderful time bouncing ideas back and forth, collaborating, you know, seeing what you came up with, all the fun stuff that you gave me to play around with, cool audio effects. Anyway, it was a blast. Folks, please make sure to visit Valithia's fic, which is linked, and leave some love for her too, because she super deserves this. I love this story, and I hope you do too. So thanks so much for listening. Of course, you know, please leave any feedback you have for the podfic as well. Would love to hear your thoughts on this work, and Valithia's will be linked on the AO3 post. Thanks for listening, and have a great whatever time of day it is for you.
This Guardian fan work is rated teen and up.
Perfect way to start this.
Despite the low-level mental link that's connected them since they all returned from the void outside to What? Oh god, that was such a bad Yitzhak voice. The sleeve ripples as they move, as first one, then a second tousled head. Tousled? Tousled? How do you pronounce that? The sleeve ripples as they move, as first one, then a second, tousled head emerges from beneath. There's still a stack of star charts in the study where Guga is trying to narrow down. Oh, breathing is helpful. The Hallows that now have his brother in their grasp. Oh, frack.